You leaving everybody?
Amen.
You leaving the Lord's house? Good to hear the good news about somebody getting saved.
Amen.
That excites me. I don't know about you, but I'd rather hear that as him hitting the lottery. And I'd rather hear that as him being anything, but I'm glad that he got saved. And I've got another brother going home with me now. You have too if you're saved. And if you ain't saved, you can be. I'm glad the grace of God is still abounding. No matter how bad or good or whatever you think you might be, I'm glad that God can still save you. There's enough power in that blood that was shed that day to cleanse you from all sin. If you got your Bibles, the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read just a little bit there, maybe somewhere else. I've just had a lot on my mind, and I want you to pray just a few minutes. Just because I've got a lot on my mind, don't mean I hold you long. I get carried away sometimes, but you couldn't be saved. This is still the Lord's day. It might get dark after a while, but it'll still be the Lord's day. I'm glad of that. So, 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Get there, praise the Lord, shout, run. 9th chapter of the book of Romans, and we want to start reading about the 25th verse, maybe. You know, we need to understand as the church, I believe we do, that the law was brought to us that we might recognize that we needed something better than what we could offer. We can read in Scripture of how that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and met with God, and God gave him the tables of the Ten Commandments, and all the laws that you read about in Exodus, Leviticus, and all this, God gave to Moses that day. And I thought about how that you remember how that when Moses come off of the mountain that one time, that the Bible said he heard how the children of Israel had already molded, made themselves other gods. How that Aaron had been left in charge and said that the gold that they had, said they throwed it into a bar and it just appeared as a golden calf. It just so happened to come out that way. And they was partying, they was worshiping a dead god in just in a little while. But I thought about how that shows us how that we as humans, as we said this morning, as with a sinful nature, and we that were born in sin, we were sinners. We are sinners by nature. It's not your choice that you're born into this world a sinner. And a lot of times people don't recognize that, and they think that because they have been such a good person and maybe not done many bad things, that God will just look over his plan of salvation. He'll just say, well, you can come in because you've been a pretty good person. But what you are is a pretty good sinner. You might be a pretty good person, a moral person, and you try to do the right thing. You're just a sinner that's trying to do the right thing. You're still a sinner. And what God does when he saves you, he makes you a new creature. And you may do some mistakes and even sin, things in your life, but once you're a new creature, you're different than what you was ever before. And I believe this, I believe once you're a new creature in Christ, you'll never enjoy sin like you once did. And you'll never be able to sin without being ashamed of it and being sorry for it once you become a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I thought how that our nation today is, they're trying to bring their own righteousness. And it was the same way. I mean, human nature tells us that the better we are and the more we do right, the more God loves us. But you need to recognize that you're a sinner and God still loves you. He loves you enough that while you are a sinner, he gave his son to die for you. That's how much. I mean, what he loved the most, the one that was innocent died for the guilt. And I'm glad today that Christ is the answer. The 25th chapter of 25th verse of the 9th chapter, Paul said this, as he saith also, in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. In other words, He's talking here to the Gentile. We were not God's people. We were not even considered the chosen people of God at that, this point in time. But although that habit, God showed mercy. Even though he said in one scripture how we were aliens and we were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, how that Israel was his chosen people. How that Jesus was of Israel. He was a Jew. How that God chose Jerusalem, he chose all these places for God to walk in the flesh. And I thought about how the Bible says here that he came to a people that was not called his people. Boy, if we ever need to shout and realize that God loved us enough, and if we realized how close it was that we would not be able to go to heaven, Brother IT, I'm glad that God showed mercy. And I'm glad that God, even though we were not recognized as the Israelites that came through the wilderness, I'm glad that these children can get up and sing about her father Abraham, the first of the Jews, the first of the Israelites, the one that set up the Israelite nation, that God said, "Thy seed would be as the stars of the sky that could not be numbered." Now, if you look at over in Israel, the amount of people that lives over there, I'm sure that there's some mathematicians that's able to number that number. But I'm glad that now is not all of God's chosen people. I'm glad that God adopted him a people out there to be called the sons of God and to be called heirs of salvation, to be the ones that he recognized because the Bible said they under the law would be circumcised by the flesh, by the doing away of the flesh. But I'm glad that later on that God recognized the heart and said you must be circumcised in the heart. In other words, and taken away of the old man dies and the new man becomes alive. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy men's life, but he came to save them. He said there that the devil have come to kill, steal, and destroy. But what did Jesus say? He said, "I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundant." The more that I read this word, and the more I try to seek God's face, and the more I try to live for him, and the more I can see heaven so clearly that I get to go to. I was reading about my home that Hannah was singing about. I get to go home one day because Jesus made a way, not just for the Jew, not just for the Greek, not just for the Chinese, but whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I was not worthy, he was not worthy, but thank God, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God recognizes us as being righteous through the blood that was shed that day. Amen. Listen to what he said. "It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, 'You are not my people,' there shall they be called the children of the living God." Isaiah, that's what Isaiah means, "also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, her remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath hath left a seed, we have been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah." In other words, they would have been destroyed. Have seen Israel have become blinded. And the Bible said that Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. But God left a remnant. He left some people in Israel that would believe said this. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of works. I don't think he said that. He said, which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, see, they got blinded. See, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Israel. He was born of the people, but they never recognized him as the Messiah. He said, they have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, and they're still doing it, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They tripped over Jesus and him, the very Messiah. And the Bible says that is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And we're going to go right on down here. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had a fire about them. They had a zeal. They wanted their priests. They wanted all these things to happen. They kept their Sabbath days. They kept their Passover. They had all these things. They had a zeal. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And I like what this next verse says. For Christ is the end of the law. It never stopped there. Now the law is still the law of God. But he said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The law didn't stop. God's law still stands. But because there was somebody that was righteous, holy and pure, that he didn't come to destroy the law, but by him fulfilling the law and the prophets, for the Bible said we can attain our righteousness through what? As we preach this morning, the blood of that he shed there, kept of that pure blood of that come from his veins. I thank God it covered our sin then that was on by mankind unto God himself. I thank God that Jesus Christ is the still our righteousness of by faith in him. You can have it today. And he said, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So if you're trying to get there by the law, you can't make one mistake. You make one sin, you're hell bound. Well, it's too late. Amen. Because you got sin in your blood. Because you're conceived in sin. So it's too late to try to do right to get to heaven. So you might as well put your faith in the one that done right and never had no impurities about him. The only way you get him is by trusting him and putting your faith in him. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. For what saith it? The word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. In thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. I'm a faith preacher. I believe you'll get it by faith, or you won't get it. You're saved by grace through faith, not yourself, not your works. Nothing you can do, but you're saved by grace, a gift from God through faith. Something you can't see, but trust in. Somebody that can do it for you. Amen? How simple it is. You know what we're doing? We're making it so complicated. And we're making it so hard to realize how simple it is that people are looking right over the simplicity of that Christ has done the work that we needed to be done. He's attained our righteousness about him dying the death of the wicked at Calvary. About his stripes were healed. done. He never saved me to do that. He loves me. Amen. He knows I'm imperfect in myself. He knows I ain't worthy in myself. But I've got my faith totally in Him. Thank God. He said He would take my sin upon Himself. He would impute His righteousness. In other words, that record that's up there in glory, brother, I thought about how many Job said we got a record in heaven. How many that record book, when we see it one day, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, of that blood's going to cover of the impurities up there.
Somebody's called. And I thought, how in the world today? places and making shows and games, entertainment, trying to tickle the ear and satisfy the flesh. Up in this word will not satisfy your flesh. It'll convict you. It'll make you uncomfortable. But thank God, it'll also save you and give you righteousness today. You can play games of your eternity, or you can get serious about going to heaven. Amen. I get to go. Praise His holy name. Not because of my righteousness, but because I put my faith in His. Yeah. And He gave it to me. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simply. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between, as we said, the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all, rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And here comes the process. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a lot of things our world's trying to replace right here? It must be a preacher.
Amen.
How shall they preach except they be sent to seminary? Didn't say that. Except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and they bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, for as Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way you obtain faith to be saved is to be able to hear the word of God by a preacher that's been sent. Amen. A lot of our parents anymore that say, well, I've got a good boy, and even some says good girls, and they'll say, I'll send them to seminary and make them a preacher. You can't make anybody a preacher. It takes a calling from God. That's still yet the word of God ain't changed. I've been with preaching gospel, not because I'm a preacher, because thus saith of the word of God. And people need to understand that conviction will come if the man of God preaches of the word of God in power and purity. Then people will be saved today if they'll obey the gospel. But faith comes by hearing. I thought about that today. We had a great Bible class today. I'm telling you, the more I study the word of God, the more I'm looking forward to where I get to go. The class consists of some things that are coming to pass right now. Coming to pass. There are going to be some hard times coming. There will be some drastic times coming. And by things that's falling together right now over in the eastern part, Iran and Russia and all these countries, how that they're going to be a World War III. There will be a war one day called the Battle of Armageddon. There will be some tribulation in 7 years. There will be some hard times. We've been spoiled. We've been blessed. Let me rephrase that. The reason we've been blessed is because people stood. They didn't make fun of the word of God or the men of God. They stood. And they tried to do it the way God said to do it. And God blessed. And God will do you that way if you'll stand for Him. What's good about it is the confidence that God gives you that no matter what happens, you're going to be all right. I may be the next one they show on CNN that's buried with my head sticking out of the ground with a hood over it and a man standing there with a sword getting ready to behead me. And if they steal something that they cannot unrob from me, I'm glad that which I have committed unto the Lord, I've got faith He's able to keep that and He's going to perform that until that last day. And I'm glad even though they may take my life, they may take my head, they can't take my home. I've got confidence that I'm going to a place that's better. His Son for you. Turn your Bibles over to Colossians just a minute. Colossians, I want you to read this. Maybe a couple of places. Over in the third chapter, first of Colossians, I thought about this today. I thought about something in Ephesians too. I'm going to read just a little bit. Turn to Ephesians first. I want to show you something. I remember when God called me to preach so clearly. I never run, but I didn't want to step out and be man called. Because I know and I still know I can't do nothing. And I know I'm still a poor excuse, but I'm preaching Jesus. It ain't me, it'll be the word that'll save you. Amen. I'm a poor excuse. I'm not permitted to pronounce words that I can't remember things like I used to. All this. But I know who called me. And I know it works. I know salvation is real. You may be sitting there lost today and saying, prove to me it's real. Listen, Jesus has already proved to me by the works that He's done. And there's an empty tomb over in Jerusalem. And the Bible said He sat down and there was 500 plus witnesses saw Him alive after they saw Him die. And there was 500 plus witnesses saw of the testimony they have of that Jesus died and that they saw Him alive. And the Bible said there when He ascended up, it said that the angel said, why do you men stand here gazing of this same Jesus you see going up? He's a coming back in lightning. He's a splitting them eastern clouds and coming back after a church that's been covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Ephesians, just a minute. Fourth chapter. Now, this is Apostle Paul. He tried to set churches up, tried to direct them in ways that should do things. You do that now, they'll call you legalistic, they'll call you everything in the world. But God set some rules up that our world's not going by. But they say they're living the right way. It worries me. I mean, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you know things ain't right. Amen. I don't have to call John Hagin to see if something's right or wrong. The Bible said that you need no man that teach you. He said the anointing will show you. The Holy Spirit that lives in you will show you right from wrong. If you've got Jesus, He lets you know how to live today. If you feel uncomfortable in how you dress, it's because you probably are uncomfortable. Amen. Probably just a feeling. It's probably because you ain't covered enough. Maybe something's too tight. I don't know where it come from. It's just an example. And it's the truth. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go down here about the fourth verse of the fourth chapter. The book of Ephesians. Somebody's always pulling down and pulling up to try to cover it. They should have covered it. Sorry. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope. Now there's not two gods. Don't ever mistake any of that for nowhere. God was made manifest in the flesh through Jesus Christ. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and there's one God. Amen.
Amen.
Don't ask me to explain it, I just believe it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. Talk to the church. And unto every one He has given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He has ascended, what is it? That He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. You remember that? He that descended into the same is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. I'm glad He took His blood and put on the mercy seat. Amen. In heaven. The Bible said, and He gave. He never said mommy called or daddy paid for his schooling. He said, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ,
till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, this means complete, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you don't believe me, look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It means complete. That we henceforth be no more children. I mean, we need some people rooted and grounded. You better get rooted and grounded. You better get your mind made up. Brother, the devil will push you off what you're founded on if it ain't Jesus Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means teacher. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're waiting on you. And they're wanting to lead you astray. And he said, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the end of law for my righteousness and for your righteousness. Our righteousness is of Christ. It's his righteousness that he gives to us. Grace, gift, faith, believe. That's it. And our world's trying to complicate it. Well, if you don't do this or that, it ain't what I can do. The reason I'm going to heaven is because Jesus died for me. Amen. He's done none of the work. I just believe it. Thank God I've got it. And I get to go. Praise his holy name. I get to go. I was reading about the walls of Jasper, the gates of hell. No crying, no sorrow, no tears, no bad news, no graveyards, no doctor's office. Ain't no mortuary, ain't no corner, ain't no need for it, ain't no death over there. Amen. Ain't even no need for the sun ball we see here. But because Jesus will be the light of that city and the glory of God. And a river pure as a crystal runs right through my place I call home. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, he said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you, but he said, I go away. If I go away, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. I get to go. Amen. Praise his holy name. Turn your Bibles, I'm going to close. I'm going to get carried away. Third chapter, book of Colossians. Jordan this morning, he looked at his watch. We got done. He said, it's almost 1 o'clock. I said, you've sung too long. Amen. And we just sung one song of his own. Third chapter of the book of Colossians. First verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, this is the whole goal of it. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. This old man died, and your life is hid with Christ. I'm hid away in God. Why am I hid with Christ in God? Because he's the end of the law of righteousness, law for righteousness. I'm hid in Christ because he is my righteousness. And the only way I can be hid in God is to be hid in Christ, because his blood's the only thing that'll cover my sinful ways. Thank God. And he said this, with Christ, who is your life, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'm going home one day. Maybe soon, may not be, I don't know. But I'm glad I get to go. I've got that confidence through the word of God that I get to go. On grave, where is thy victory? On death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and that's why we have to die. The wages of sin is death. Thank God we've got victory because we've got Jesus. We'll ask everybody that wants to stand. This altar's open. Maybe you're here and you don't know him, and you're concerned about your eternity. Right? Listen, you better get concerned. If you're going to face eternity one place or the other. She sung that song about going home. Where you go for your home will be where you're prepared for. If you never get prepared to go to that glorious home of heaven, think of what other home you'll go to. That's a place called hell. It's real. And it's urgent that you get ready to meet Jesus. It's time is swiftly, swiftly. We was talking about time today, how that from Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday, from Tuesday to Tuesday, really it don't seem like a blink of an eye. These kids that I can remember running around here this tall, and their mommies are whooping them and getting them straightened up, that wouldn't mind, now they're standing up here singing, tall as I am. Amen? Brother, I'm telling you, time's passing. And you better take advantage. Redeem the time God's given you. And use it for things that's above. Because you're going to leave here. Without Christ, there's no hope, as they say. It's all reserved. Come this evening. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Thank God for Christ. This altar's open. You got something on your heart you need to pray about right here's a good place. Just come talk to the one that can take care of you. Maybe it's somebody you're concerned about. I tell the church, if we don't get a Lord, we don't get a burden, we don't get a true faith, we don't get a desire to see our people saved. It takes a desire to have confidence that God is going to move. Takes a load. It don't hurt us to carry a load. It helps us. If you're carrying a load, people see the load that you're carrying. Takes any weight on it. Bring it to Christ. One more soul. How precious. This nephew that God saved this morning. The Bible said that there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. All the righteous out there, thank God. There'll be angels in the very presence of the angels rejoicing. You will move heaven tonight. You come and repent of your sin. Believe in Christ. Let him save you right now. You won't have to pray all night. You come. Come in the faith God's given you. Just believe in the gospel. God'll save you. There'll be a change take place. You'll be glad to tell the church, I've been saved. Be glad because you know you've been redeemed. Come. This ain't a game. It ain't a baby soul thing. You know. When God forgives your sin, wipes your slate clean and gives you hope, you'll be glad to tell the world. There's hope for you right now. I don't know how long this will last. Grace is here. I don't know how long it'll be. But when Jesus comes back, you better be ready. Your life ends, the last breath you breathe is breathe. You better be ready. You're important to God. You're special. You're the reason His Son died. You're very special. He loves you that much. But if you've been the only one left, that's how important one soul is. Gave His Son. I believe that with all my heart. It's personal. That's how personal it is. You'll realize that He's the best friend you'll ever find. Christ is your only answer. He's the end of the law for your righteousness. In other words, you can't be good enough yourself. You must put your faith in the one that is good enough. The only one that is. That name we preached about this morning, that's above all names. He's the only one that can save you. And this evening, maybe you're here and God's dealing with your heart. Listen, that's a plus. If God's convicting you, that's your opportunity. To be saved by the grace of God. Don't let it pass you by. Maybe you feel like that and God's dealing with your heart and you'd like to raise your hand and say, pray for me. God, have mercy on me. Would there be one? God bless that hand. There'd be another tonight. I need to be saved. I'm lost. I'm afraid. I was. I was going to hell and I was afraid. People said, you got that scared religion. You got that right. I was afraid. I know God's going to hell, but I know there's a man loving me enough died for me. And I didn't have to be afraid anymore.
Yeah.
Perfect love casts out fear. And I put my faith in that one that gave me perfect love. Complete love. Maybe somebody else here this evening, you're lost and you need to be saved. You'd just like for this church to pray. I'm not coming to you. I'm going to embarrass you. But we will pray that God have mercy on your soul. Be one more in the house, sincere this evening. Your Heavenly Father, we thank you for this one. It's been sincere. It's been obedient, Lord, in this part to recognize that they're lost. First step to salvation is recognizing you're guilty before a holy God. Father, help them to realize the second step is just simply believing and trusting your Son and what he did at Calvary for their redemption. And Father, we ask you for those that didn't raise their hand that should have mercy upon their soul. Lord, help us to strive to set our minds and our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. I know when we do, it builds our confidence and our excitement and our zeal gets more that we know we're going home. And Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless the church. Send us revival. Lord, have mercy on our community. Have mercy on these that's turned you away. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One verse. We'll go home this evening. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Don't leave this building without that moment. One verse.
Sometimes it's children that parents seem like they
strive to try to put up with things they do, and they'll lose all that they got to try to get their children in line. Sometimes I feel like that in God's eyes. I'm not out here running around it. I'm just saying we fail. We fall short. We do things that we mess up. We'll say things sometimes before we even think.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But I'm glad He loves me.
Amen.
And the more I know about Him, the more I realize how precious. I don't understand grace. I don't believe no man can understand the grace of God, how really, really, really precious that it is. The more I get closer to Him, the more I realize how valuable that grace is. How much I need it every day. And I praise Him today. And I thank Him for how good He's been to me. Praise His holy name. Maybe a little word. Testimony on your heart. Something good. We don't want to leave in a bad note. Amen. We'll pray for you, but don't leave us nothing bad. Anybody got anything good they want to say?